Okay, so I thought it was quite appropriate to talk about macadamia at a Hawaiian ASHS conference. It's not really a temperate nut crop, but I guess it's a tree nut crop, and that's why I got put in this. For your information, there's some macadamias at the back of the room that's getting on in the morning. You might be a bit peckish. There's four samples there. They're from the new varieties that are going to be being released this year from the Australian Macadamia Breeding Program. So hopefully they're as good as what you've other macadamias you've had in Hawaii. So macadamias. It's a premium nut crop, but it's only 3% of the world market. So it's probably the highest priced nut crop in the world. But there's still a large supply that can be produced. It's generally assumed as consumed as snack food, maybe with roasted soda with your favourite champagne, or I prefer beer, chocolate in road, which is very popular in Hawaii, and other forms of consumption. So why is macadamia significant in Hawaii? Hawaii led commercialisation of the crop from the 1920s. They were the first place that significant orchards of macadamias were planted and processing was started. Macadamia currently, I understand, contributes about $35 million US to the Hawaiian economy, and I think it's about the third largest crop in Hawaii. And cultivars that were developed in Hawaii produce around about, this is a stab in the dark number, 70% of the world's production of macadamias. But the new ones from Australia will soon overtake that. So the natural history, it's the only Australian plant that's been domesticated as an international food crop. There are other crops that are starting to be developed, like Australian limes and other crops that have been developed from the Australian flora. It was first described in 1857. You understand Australia was settled in the late 18th century. And it's a genus of the Proteaceae family, which Proteaceae is a very large Gondwanic southern hemisphere family, and very ancient. When we've been doing the sequences, the closest relative to macadamia that's been sequenced is Platanus. So that gives you a bit of an idea. There's four species, Integrafolia and Tetraphylla are edible, and Ternifolia and Jansenii produce bitter kernels and are not palatable. On the left is a figure that displays the distribution of macadamia, and in the green is the predictions based on habitat modelling of the distribution of macadamia, and in the red is the predictions of what currently remains in the wild of macadamia. So it's an Australian crop, even though domesticated and commercialised in. Why is it important to develop an understanding of domestication history? It's useful to understand the genetic structure for future breeding and genetic resource management. We've talked about how a large proportion is supplied from Hawaiian cultivars. It also adds to the heritage of the plant and the crop in Hawaii and in Australia. If we identify remnants, we can develop pedigree reconstruction and try and work out where these individuals originally were sourced in the wild. I've got a reference up there to a paper I wrote in 2015. It's based on the domestication history using historical records, and we were also doing some germplasm work, genotyping work that I'll talk about soon. So let's walk through how macadamia was domesticated in Australia. The first recorded introduction of macadamia into Australia was by a guy called Purvis, who came over from Scotland to run a sugar mill up in the north east of the Big Island, near Kukahele, Kapalina. And there's various accounts, but it's recorded that was introduced sometime between 1878 and 1887. Records indicate that it was Macadamia integrifolia, one of the edible species, but there's also records to suggest that Macadamia ternifolia, which produces bitter inedible kernels, was also introduced. The historical records don't give us much indication where that came from. It could have been that Purvis brought it back from one of his trips to the UK, where he'd been taken to on some botanical distribution, or he also stopped. There's records of him stopping into Australia on the way to Hawaii on a second trip. And there's also a record that however these plants were removed. We're unsure about that, but that's one of the historical records. And just for geography, we've got Honolulu and Waikoloa here. The next introduction, and I'm sorry about a little bit of the colouring, but I did want to use different colours, and if there's colourblind people here, I also apologise to those people, but I'm not as extensive with my colouring as Cameron, so if you've sat through Cameron's talks, you can sit through mine. So the next recorded introduction of integrifolia was by Robert Jordan, and his brother Edward Jordan had moved here a little bit earlier, and he moved to Hawaii in 1892 and brought macadamias with him. They were planted in the Nuuanu Valley, which is just one of the suburbs of Honolulu now, and there's records that about 6 trees were produced from that introduction. Lowndes in 1968 suggested that these came from the Gold Coast, were sourced from the Gold Coast, but the last observed tree was 1984. In a publication by the University of Hawaii, but in recent search, well, visiting the site a couple of weeks ago, there's still a very large, there's a large tree located about 50 metres away that looks like it could have been from a similar time as the introduction. So that's the 2 major introductions of integrifolia. What happened then was in the 1920s, people started to realise the pleasantness, the edibility of a macadamia, and there was an orchard that was established, first of all 1920, but the plants died, but in then 1924 from seedlings that were collected, we believe, records suggest, from the Jordan introduction. And you can notice from this that the Nutridge orchard is quite close to the Jordan introduction, so that's not unreasonable to think that. And that orchard was abandoned in the 1920s, although that remnants of that orchard still exist. We had another seedling orchard planted separately by the Honecker Sugar Company as a additional crop to the sugar production that was going on at that time. And that happened to be, that was planted over near the Purvis introduction around Capilina. That's a bit north of Honecker. And it's a bit unsure of when that was planted. Some of it was planted, you know, just as trees, perhaps in reforestation for denuded sites, but it was planted before 1924, and the records suggest that it was planted with Purvis introduction. There was another, there was a major orchard that was planted in Keohoe, seedling orchards, around about the 1924. And that was, as indicated here, about 100 acres, which is quite a bit larger than Nutridge Orchard. And this was planted by the same company that established the Nutridge Orchard. And so there's a lot of historical records suggest that the seeds that were used for the establishment of that orchard came from Nutridge, but also could have come from the Purvis introduction. There's an orchard up on the very far north of the Big Island, Kohola, and that's the Bond orchard that was planted by Dr. Bond, planted about 1922, and the records suggest, there's not strong records, but records suggest that seed came from the Honecker Sugar Company, not from the Purvis introduction, but the Honecker Sugar Company, which we remember was suggested to use Purvis. And actually, that's currently the world's oldest commercial orchard. We were up there last week, and it's still being harvested, and nuts are still being collected from that orchard of about 30 trees. Then there was a lot of seedling orchards that were being established, and I'm not going to go through them, but there was another really significant orchard that was planted on the island of Kauai, further north, and that was by a guy called Deshwanden, Mr. Deshwanden. He was a accountant at one of the sugar companies up there, and I guess wanted to look at diversifying. And that was planted in the 1920s, and that seed, we believe, was taken from the Nutridge orchard for that. But that was abandoned in the 1940s. Then in the 1930s, University of Hawaii, Hawaiian Agriculture Experiment Station made a breakthrough with perfecting grafting techniques. And essentially what they found out that if you censured the wood, that the percentage of grafting take improved dramatically. And by 1935, they were getting up to 80% grafting success. So this prompted them to initiate a survey of seedling orchards to look for elite individuals that they could then graft up and test, clonally test, and then use for the deployment of improved cultivars. So this is a list of the first generation of the Hawaiian cultivars. We had the first cultivar and their Hawaiian names and their release date. So one of the first cultivars that was developed was Kiaho. In Australia, we call it 246. In Australia, we tend to use the numbers rather than the names because we speak Aboriginal there, not Hawaiian. But Kiaho was, as the name suggests, sampled from the seedling Kiaho orchard. Then there was a range of other cultivars that were released from samples in the surveying and clonal evaluation. And then there was, including these two, Kiaho and Mauka, from the Deshwandan orchard that, you know, really didn't go anywhere as an orchard. And then there was this cultivar, Honoka Special, and that was sampled from the Honoka Sugar Company seedling orchard. So these other ones were really sampled from Hawaiian Macadamia Nut Company orchards or orchards that were derived using seed from those orchards. But this Honoka Special was selected from the Honoka Sugar Company orchards. We also have this cultivar up here, Fuji, that was released very late in the piece, and that was actually, records indicate that was sampled from this Bond orchard. So what we've also been doing is, part of my work has been to find the remnants of these orchards and sample them and do some chloroplast genotyping and then use that to look at the structure both in the wild but also of the domesticated Hawaiian cultivars. So this is a dendrogram, remembering that this is the distribution of macadamia both originally pre-European settlement and also the remnants that remain today. And in the background is the clustering of the wild population samples we've taken from that. So the first thing to see is there's a huge latitudinal structure to macadamia in the wild. So this makes it quite easy to try and identify, to trace back where the maternal chloral type came from back to the wild. We've got three notes here of germplasm from Hawaii that was collected. This ref is actually the genotype Mauka that has been used for genotypes developed the macadamia sequence by Southern Cross University, and including the chloroplast sequence. And practically all of the Hawaiian germplasm is identical to this chlorotype. All of the cultivars that were sampled from the Hawaiian Macadamia Nut Company seedling orchards, but also including this Honoka Special that was released from the Honoka Sugar Company orchard, and also those that were collected from the Deshwandan orchard. We've got a sample here that's actually been collected from a remnant of the Nutridge orchard, and that's quite different, and that traces back to the northern distribution of macadamia. And we've got Fuji, which also is different from that a little bit, but traces back to the north. So in summary, this work has shown that Hawaiian macadamia germplasm is only several generations from the wild, maybe four generations from the wild, and that's probably the most developed macadamia germplasm in the world. Almost all the Hawaiian germplasm share a common chlorotype, and that common chlorotype traces back to the northern clade of macadamia wild population. That common chlorotype is likely to represent the Jordan introduction. There's not a lot of detail presented in here for that, but most of those Hawaiian Macadamia Nut Company orchards were recorded as being established with the Jordan introduction. And based on the chloroplast, there appears to be limited diversity in the Hawaiian germplasm and the Hawaiian cultivars. So there's a lot of opportunity for breeding. Thank you.